Hello and welcome back to Sports Sport Podcast, episode 15. I'm Aiden.
I'm Billy.
And I'm Alejandro.
Today we have a lot of MLB news along with the beginning of the NFL preseason. So very exciting stuff. And let's get right into the NBA and what little we have to go over with it.
CJ McCollum of the Trail Blazers gets a 3-year, $100 million extension. That was the max he was able to get.
I think this is a good move, locking up the Trailblazers guard duo with Willard and McCollum, so they have them for a decent amount of time.
3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And they also have Whiteside now, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So they have him at a big. So the Trailblazers are looking like they're going to be pretty good.
Yeah, they've clearly had a lot of confidence in the backcourt of Dame and CJ, and both of them getting extensions this year, Dame getting the Supermax. And CJ gained a 3-year MAC extension as well. They obviously have had a lot of confidence in them over the last few years. They stuck with them after they got swept by the Pelicans, and it paid off last year with a conference finals trip. So, obviously, trying to build with them.
Definitely shown a lot of growth since he got into the league. Now, actually turning into a MAC player along with Lillard, and them both getting contracts and they're locking them up, so...
Yeah,
showing promise for the future, hopefully, and hopefully they get better and better. And if this year, past year is to show, then I think they will probably will get better and probably get farther in the playoffs than they did this year.
Yeah, his biggest flaw is defense, but obviously he's progressed a lot. He was just like a minor option. They had LaMarcus Aldridge and Dame there, but then he became a most improved player and built off of that. And that was a 20-point per game score consistently and a great 3-point shooter.
Yeah. News came out this week that if the Knicks did land their two key free agents, will most likely, or just any two major free agents, Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant being the biggest examples there, they would consider bringing back Carmelo Anthony on a contract. As to right now, currently the Knicks did not get those free agents, and Melo is unsigned, and he doesn't know where he's going. Yeah, he's sad.
I think the reason why they would have brought him back if they had free agents is just because
depth,
image, basically, and they can bring him back, make the city happy, have him happy, retire wherever he wants. Like that is,
he would have to play
either Denver, and they would have a reason to not play him as much because I'm sure they don't want to.
At the same time, I don't know why they leaked this, like they shared this news, because that just probably adds insult to injury to Melo, who's still got a team. So I don't know why they leaked that news. Why, like, they shared
it does
that.
Show, though, that teams are still, like, Melo can still play in the NBA, obviously.
Yeah, he can.
It's just nobody is in the right situation right now to be able to add him, or that needs to add him. Like, a team that needs more depth on their rosters, like Lakers and Clippers and all those teams that are trying to contend, maybe.
And there has been news about Melo and LeBron talking about playing together, and they've kind of wanted to do that.
Honestly, him on the Trailblazers would be interesting, since they're a much small forward.
And the Trailblazers, one weak spot, I think.
I'm surprised the Hornets haven't just gave him something, because they have no idea what to do with their money.
Well, the Hornets right now are in a rebuilding phase, and they certainly don't need to give a player who's, like, what, 34 right now, a contract to, like, they don't need any veteran leadership, because right now they're just in a tank year, and they don't want any old players on big contracts, so it doesn't really make sense to give them anything.
I mean, they gave Terry Rozier way too much money.
But he is a young player still.
Still way too
much. And still a bad contract, yes.
Yeah.
But
he's borderline
young. You can see what they're thinking.
Yeah. We're talking about role players. Terry was a role player in the game, like almost 20 mil.
Yeah. So, maybe
only for a set of possible. That's it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Lance Stephenson signed for a team in China.
Yeah, we've seen a few minor role players and, like, kind of off the bench or just average players signing in with foreign leagues. This offseason, Mirotić going to
Spain,
and Kosta Kufas went to Russia, I believe. And now we have Lance Stephenson signing in China. You know,
I think he's probably just going to drop like 60 a game, turn into Jimmer Fredette, get his
that's
money.
That's what I thought.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I think the reason they're going over there is that they're getting more money because the China wants big faces.
He wants to
somewhat,
dance.
Yeah.
And you're going to get more money over in China if you're like a decent or somewhat well-known player in the NBA because they want that more than the NBA would want that.
Yeah.
In the NBA, he probably would
they have
get
more demand for that.
Lower contract.
Yeah. I guess it's also just fun just scoring like 15 every single shot.
Yeah. Jimmer Fredette certainly enjoyed it.
Yep.
Stephon Marbury was like a god. He's still going in China. I think he's still playing.
Yeah.
So people carve out names in there and they really like it and they stay because they were just a role player before and now they're like the superstar.
They're like a superstar.
David Griffin was reportedly miserable when he was with the Cleveland Cavaliers. I mean, doesn't really
after
surprise
the championship.
Me because
yeah.
Cleveland is not a fun place to be when it comes to basketball or just
in general.
And I think LeBron was probably trying to control the team.
Well, he later said that it was not with LeBron, it wasn't miserable, but I guess a lot of other stuff was miserable because like he knew because he had to dish out large contracts and he couldn't make much moves. You know, it was just like a stable, like a
he did have a lot
and everything he
yeah.
did was.
He didn't have
LeBron.
Much leverage.
Yeah, hinged on LeBron.
Mm.
LeBron had all the leverage. Because he always
well, LeBron runs his teams pretty
he,
much.
Yeah, he signed all those like short extensions to keep pressure on the team.
Mm.
And they just couldn't make much moves and didn't have any freedom.
He didn't really have any cap space to move either. He had to give big contracts to Tristan Thompson.
And JR.
I think Amon Shumpert had
yeah,
big contracts. Like, there was just a bunch of people with big contracts that definitely didn't need them. But they won a championship, so... Imagine if you get one, Timofey Mozgov. Thankfully, the Lakers screwed that one up. I mean, he just had no leverage and no room to make any moves on his own. And if he did have leverage, LeBron would probably take that. All right. Next, the Hawks are leaving a spot open for Vince Carter. Vince Carter is currently in free agency still. And deciding where he wants to go, but the Hawks are leaving a roster spot open for him if he decides to go to Atlanta.
Yeah, I think that's a good move for the
yeah.
team. Still a very young core. They could use the veteran leadership. I mean, Vince Carter, nice guy.
Yeah,
good locker room presence.
Yeah, it's going to be his last season, so it's going to be nice to see him.
Yeah,
I'd like to
seeing
see
that this will probably be his last season, I'm expecting him to go back to Toronto.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that he said it's going to be his last season.
I'd like to see him go back to Toronto just to where
yeah.
he's come from, or to go ring chasing just for, because I think he deserves a ring, honestly.
Yeah.
Because he's had such a good career, but he's had such bad fortune with like his teams that he's been on in support
yeah.
cast, because there's always another team that's been better than them. And, you know, if he did get like the LeBron treatment with how they put pieces around him, I'm sure he would have won a couple rings. But
there was some bad luck because, like, in Toronto, Tracy McGrady left.
Yeah.
And then he became a superstar over in Orlando.
Mm. And if Tracy McGrady stayed, that would have been a whole different story, I'm sure.
Exactly.
Maybe a couple of rings for Toronto already.
Exactly. So.
And they wouldn't just be getting one this year. Landry Shamet, who is a shooting guard for the Clippers,
mm-hmm.
He withdrew from USA training camp, showing... how miserable NBA players like are being in this training camp, or
yeah.
like they just don't want to play for the team in the FIBA World Cup, which is
yeah.
just disappointing.
It was an honor, everything, and then he just like
yeah.
left. I don't know.
Landry Shamet's a bench player. I don't
you
even
think,
know how he got invited, but he did, and he withdrew. So,
you think
yeah.
if you're like a lower tier player and you get invited to this? You'd probably take it so that
yeah.
you can use it.
Because this is a huge role.
To
you're
show
representing
off for coaches.
Yeah.
You're
playing with all stars.
Country, and you're showing what you're capable of.
Mm. It's a big stage, and usually players like this don't like have the opportunity to play in that role and be that big superstar and just play in those big moments. And that's the big moment, and he's withdrawing, which I'm just completely surprised by. I think he probably should have stayed, but, you know, he's probably just going to use the excuse that he's preparing for next season again, but, you know.
At least his team has something to prepare for if he's on the Clippers.
Yeah.
Some other guys have just been, like, a more relevant teams, and they said they're preparing.
Mm. Draymond Green of the Warriors, he signed a 4-year, $100 million contract.
Honestly, I think this is a good move.
It's good for the Warriors, as he is a very key player, especially defensively for them. Good leader sometimes. Definitely has some behavioral issues.
Yeah.
But
I think he deserves the contract, but
I think he
really
I think it's a little too much money for him.
Yeah, but he's also eligible for a Supermax next season, so they just say.
But at the same time, it's a good move for the team. Lock him up, stuff like that.
And I think Draymond, as he gets older, I don't think he's really going to get any better at this point. I think he's probably going to
He got like pretty wet, like a lot worse last season because of the 2-point shot.
Think he'll still be throughout this whole contract as long as he stays injury free. He should continue to keep up his defensive prowess.
Yeah, because obviously defense all his value is his intelligence and what he brings to the team. You can just see him, like, moving around players.
He knows the game.
Switching. Yeah.
He can help run an offense well, too.
The Warriors, I think, are certainly still kind of a championship contender, but I think they're kind of falling off as of right now. And I think,
especially without KD.
You could probably take advantage of a team and trade Draymond if you wanted to. Like, that's probably what I would do, but they're going to stay in that window.
Well, a lot of Draymond's value is within playing with the Warriors and, like, the shooters that they have. So I don't know how many teams would be willing to take on his $25 million salary at 32.
I think still, though, when teams, they'll see a player that's good and maybe, I think Draymond, he's a good player, of course, but I think some of his talent is feeding off of other players around him. Because, the success factors into that, and that's not all him. It's Curry and Clay and KD. Yeah. But I think when other GMs see that, some GMs just don't think it through, and I think they just go for it. And if you're seeing Draymond as kind of a third piece on your team, you're trying to complete that. And, some teams I think would still be hungry for him.
I think the teams that would be hungry for him are, like, as you see, like, he's the guy that fits in well with a whole bunch of shooters around him. Mm. So you're thinking, like, what other teams are out there that – build their team with a bunch of shooters, and that's where he would probably go. I mean, the Bucks don't really need him because they have Giannis, but now that Giannis can actually shoot the three ball, maybe we'll see this season if it got consistent.
Yeah,
but if say he goes there, Giannis can now stay outside, get the ball outside at the 3-point line now. And you have Draymond inside on the post instead of Giannis just always getting fed in the post. Giannis has more diversity of what he can actually do from where he gets the ball.
Mm-hmm. Well, obviously Draymond can have a small ball lineup. He can like make that work, but still, I don't see how many teams that can make the salary situation work.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of salaries in the NBA are kind of messed up as of right now, just because so many people are getting max contracts and all that. So.
Yeah,
there's not a lot of cap space.
Contracts are untradeable, and the situations are just bad, and you just can't make the numbers work.
Yeah, there's just a lot of money being thrown around now. Contracts are just getting
honestly worse. In the next CBA, unrelated, but they should definitely get rid of the Supermax.
Yeah,
for what it was like, the intended purpose, they completely failed.
Because
the only reason it was employed was so players would stay with their franchises,
and that's not working.
The only thing it's doing is it's hampering the small market's ability, like cap space situation. Because obviously we've seen like the players who want to leave, they leave. They leave the $30 million table and they leave. They're gone. They don't care. Mm-hmm. So I don't think
they're already making enough. So it doesn't really make sense.
The only thing it's hurting is the small market. They were supposed to help the small markets. All it did was hurt their cap situation. Mm-hmm. Because like, what can the Trailblazers do? They were already like at the limit, but now they have Dame on a Supermax, and they have OKC. Also had a Supermax, and they just couldn't make any moves to help the roster. So.
I should force them into a rebuild. All right, so on to the MLB. A lot of news. Obviously, the trade deadline was this week. Very exciting, a lot of moves. So first off, unrelated to the trade deadline, but David Ortiz, who was shot in the back.
In the Dominican Republic,
He's finally been released from the hospital after like a month and a half or something like that.
I think like
two months maybe, He was released from the hospital. He will have full-time nurses around him, though, so.
It's just great news for him to be back.
It is good. He's walking and all of that, so. He's doing well and definitely better than he was when he was in the hospital. So,
yeah.
Obviously, good progression for him. Good to see him back.
Yeah. I'm sure everyone's glad to see that he's okay, able to function on his own and all that stuff. Very scary thing for the baseball community.
Mm-hmm. The Blue Jays, so on to the trade deadline news. Blue Jays pitcher Marcus Stroman was traded to the New York Mets for two prospects. Stroman is pitching with a 2.96 ERA and not a great record, but understandable because it's the Blue Jays.
Yeah, they're a real situation. So.
Also reportedly, the Blue Jays tried to trade for Yankees prospects.
Devi Garcia, who's a pitcher that the Yankees rate very highly, and an outfielder, Esteban Florio, which is kind of funny, honestly, because the Mets didn't trade their top, like, any of their top prospects, really. Like, and then they tried, but the Yankees also wanted them, so they tried to feed off of that and corner them and try to get their top two prospects.
Yeah, the Blue Jays already have a ton of good prospects at this point. So if they could have cashed in on that, I mean, that would have been good. But I don't think the Yankees were really willing to give that up.
Yeah.
Assuming that, the Yankees already have a pretty good roster and they already have a good enough roster to make a push for the World Series this year. So adding Stroman would have probably pushed it over the top. But they're good as to just hold on to their prospects that they can grow up into in a couple of years. Can grow up into good players, and they can possibly just win the World Series this year without Stroman.
Yeah.
As for the Mets,
the move didn't make sense to me. But if the Mets' whole intention was just to flip them to the Yankees, it makes more sense. But now that they have Stroman, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
much sense.
It's a great rotation, but yeah. I mean, you're giving up prospects, and your team's out of the playoffs as of right now. And even if they did make the playoffs, they're still not gonna be contenders for the World Series.
Yeah.
They're a middle-of-the-pack team. It doesn't make
Marcus
sense.
Marcus Stroman wanted to be traded to a contender, and that was basically his entire market were contenders. And then the Mets kind of just swooped in out of nowhere and just said, hey, we'll take him. And he goes from one bad team to another. So I'm sure he's not too happy about that.
Yeah, the Mets have a bunch of good pieces, but they don't have any supporting cast. So this move doesn't make any sense if they just gain another solid player.
They have pretty good pitching.
They just can't do anything else. They already had good pitching, and they obviously
couldn't
do anything with it. So to trade for another pitcher doesn't make much sense.
Yeah, they really just needed to, address the lineup, the actual hitting lineup and fielding and all that. But they go and get another pitcher, and that you're already golden there. You're already perfect.
Exactly.
So it really just makes no sense at all.
I guess they're just hoping to have such a good pitching rotation that the hitting doesn't need to be that good.
Stroman is on a multi-year contract, so they can stash him for the future, for future years. But
I could see them trying to flip him at the next year's trade deadline again.
They could get some good value back, but I mean, you already traded away some pretty good value for him, so it really makes sense.
It wasn't top tier value.
It's still prospects.
Two prospects. The Blue Jays and their wealth of young players, they called up another good young player, Bo Bichette. He proceeded to hit a dinger in his first game, right?
Yes, very nice dinger.
He's been on a tear ever since.
Him and Vladimir Guerrero Jr. are going to look really good. They have a great hitters for their prospects right now, Bichette and Guerrero and Biggio. They're gonna look good in the major leagues, I think. In the minors, they tear it up, and now Guerrero.
The record he set was 9 hits in his first 5 games, which is pretty impressive for a prospect just came up.
Such a good core, honestly.
The Blue Jays is something special. If it develops correctly, then it could be a force in the future.
And they acquired those prospects from the Mets, so now they got them in the system too. They're going to have a really good young team, I think, in the future, just in a couple of years. And I think they'll be back in playoff contention by then.
Yeah.
I think the rebuild that they're kind of doing right now, what they're kind of just tanking and pulling up prospects, you're getting them playing time in the majors and, not too much pressure because obviously they're out of the playoff race and they're not going to make it. But they're just putting them out there to perform, and they're doing good.
Another team that we could be looking that could look like the Blue Jays in a year or two is the Padres, who've also been stacking up prospects. Like, they have like the number one top 10 prospects and like two top 25 and 50. So they could look. They could be a good situation.
And right now their roster looks pretty good with Machado and Tatis and all them. They're looking really good as well. The Philadelphia Phillies, they traded for Mets pitcher Jason Vargas. Vargas has a 6-5 record and also is pitching a 3.93 ERA this season. You know, Vargas, a lot of Mets fans and people around the Mets are saying that he was good. And, you know, I didn't really look at his stats before this, but seeing that he only has a 3.93 ERA, which is an improvement, his career average is around 4.5 or 4.1 or something like that. Like, it's in mid-fours.
I mean, it's below the average, but
it's
not amazing.
It's not amazing. Like, I heard that he was doing really good and he was having a really good year. I don't see it. Kind of a back of the rotation pitcher, you know, just an average ad for the Phillies.
Well, I mean, really often he's been desperate for pitching, so maybe they appreciated what he brought to the table.
The MLB didn't suspend Trevor Bauer, the Cleveland Indians pitcher. Well, not anymore, but we'll get to that soon. While he was with the Cleveland Indians, he threw a ball into the center field over the fence into center field. Terry Francona came out to pull him out.
He was having a pretty bad outing. Yeah. And he was really frustrated, and Terry Francona came in to take him out of the game, and he just chucked the ball.
It was impressive, too.
He was on the mound, and he threw it to center field.
He threw it over the wall, like right into that kind of grass area where the giant Royals scoreboard, shape logo thing is. Very impressive, I have to say. Should he have gotten suspended for it?
No.
It was
Bridgie
just
was fine though.
Yeah, I think he was.
Yeah.
I don't think he should have got. Well, he didn't get suspended, but I don't think he would get suspended. I don't see it as that
bad
of an offense
or bad.
Yeah,
it gives the league a bad name.
He's just kind of mad.
It's the moment of frustration.
It's like throwing your glove, but you're throwing a ball into center field.
Basically the same thing.
Yeah, a little over the top. Yeah,
or like
same
breaking your bat
thing.
Over your knee.
Yeah. I mean, he isn't
saying like throwing
so.
Your bat or whatever. As long as you're not throwing.
It's not like throw a bat into the crowd. No, that'd be bad.
That would be pretty bad.
That'd be really bad.
Okay, let's move on.
All right.
Speaking of Trevor Bauer, in a blockbuster move, they sent them to the Reds, the whole teams, for in a trade, a three-team trade. And in return, they got Puig.
Yeah, so this trade for the Indians, you know, I don't really see it as that good of a trade.
Confusing trade, at least.
Yeah, Bauer was a pretty good pitcher. He did, you know, there was some tensions flaring with him and the team.
Off the field, he obviously wasn't the greatest, but on the field, they got a pitcher.
Great. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Him going to the Reds doesn't make sense.
I think, you know, the Reds picking up is a good move. I mean, he is an all-star pitcher. But, and I think for Puig, that's a steal for them. I really think.
But the Reds are, I mean, and they're in the battle in the NL Central, but all the teams are. And
yeah. I think it's more of kind of
considering the market, it doesn't make, like, it was just the Reds.
Yeah.
It came out of nowhere.
I think it's kind of just the, you know, they're thinking of the future and then trying to build up their team.
Yeah.
And they're not really thinking of this year. I think this year is more of a kind of wait it out, you know. If they make it into, like, the wild card somehow, you know, that's fine. But I think it's just more of kind of they want to improve their pitching staff and they get, obviously, a number one pitcher right here that can do that. And that's just a great move. As for the Indians, it makes sense on their half kind of because
he was a
struggle for them. Yeah. And they are bringing in a good outfielder in Puig who can play in outfield, which the Indians do need outfield.
He went RBI in his first game. So.
Yeah. Puig did good this season for the Reds. So good for the Indians, I think, that move. But yeah. Speaking of Yasiel Puig, the night he was traded, the Reds got into a brawl with the Pirates. They did this also earlier in the season, but this one was a big one.
Yeah, the Pirates were, like, berating them and, like,
yeah,
being just the usual themselves, which annoys the opponent usually.
And then the pitcher for the Reds kind of just stormed off and basically tried to fight the entire Pirates team on his own.
If you haven't watched it, you should watch it. Because
it's one of the best
fights
I've ever seen.
He literally talks to his coach and then throws his gloves down and just sprints right at them.
He went full force at him. Just
one man
took on the whole team.
Yeah.
And then the Reds started to clear off their benches and they went over. And even the manager of the Reds, he got headlocked.
Yeah, he got thrown down
by one of the Pirates players. And the manager started getting into the fight. It was pretty interesting.
And then Puig was traded that night.
Puig
was
already traded.
Puig had already been traded, but he still went to take the backs of his former teammates. Which is, I actually like to see that. It's a respectful move.
He went to go get in the fight.
Just because you had just been traded.
It's not a respectful move, just a respectable.
Respect him for defending his teammates.
But that move,
former.
But the actual move isn't respectful.
Yes.
Yeah. He has a history of a temper, so obviously him charging the bench.
I think he'll just take any excuse he can to go fight someone.
Yeah.
He's one of those dudes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Yeah. I have to say, I do rank this above the Blue Jays and Rangers fight from, 2015 with Odor and, Batista. Yeah. That was a good fight, but this one, I think I'm going to rank it ahead of it. So, baseball fights.
I don't really fight ranking, so.
Yeah, I don't
fight
either.
Those are the ones I can think of.
The only one I know that's memorable is Veritek poking the Yankees player in the eye and making him
bleed. Alex Rodriguez.
Yup.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That was a good one.
This has to be a top fight in the league though. That's
if
we're doing a league, we should do a fight ranking one day.
Oh God, why?
MLB fights.
Have Billy. Have one.
Yeah, I think we have to do that. All right. Next up, the Braves made a lot of moves in the bullpen during the trade deadline. Very good moves. They're a contender, so they're trying to make moves. They already got a lot of good hitters and all that. So
they're set in the outfield.
Yeah, and they're just improving their bullpen, which is amazing. The Braves traded for Tigers all-star closer Shane Green, pretty much the only good player on the Tigers.
Well, no, there's another good player, but we'll talk about him later.
I think he's the only all-star, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was pretty good. All-star closer Shane Green. He's a 1.18 ERA with 22 saves.
And should be congratulated for those 22 saves he managed on a losing team.
Like because how does he get 22 saves when they never have the lead? Because they're the Tigers.
Exactly.
It's that's impressive. Imagine having him now on the Braves. I mean, that's
who actually get leads.
I know. Those saves are going to be off the charts.
Wow.
1.18 ERA, also pretty good.
That's really good.
You know, it's a closer, so he's pitching limited innings, but still. Braves also landed former All-Star reliever Mark Melancon. Yeah, that guy. from the Giants, who where they're on a pretty good run, but
yeah, they were on a push for the playoffs still.
So letting go,
so they just felt he was expendable. Yes. Mm-hmm.
So good move from the Braves right there, just improving their bullpen.
Obviously, you can never have too much bullpen help in today's game.
Yeah. All right, so we're gonna continue MLB in the next segment, but that's gonna be it for part one. Hello and welcome back to Sports Report Podcast, and we're going to go back into some MLB. So, at the trade deadline, a buzzer beater trade happened, and the Tigers traded Nick Castellanos to the Cubs. Castellanos recorded 11 home runs and 37 RBIs this season, averaging a .273 batting average. So, not an amazing player, but a good depth piece for the Cubs outfield.
Yeah, he's a good addition for them.
Yeah.
They need pieces, so.
And the Cubs are a contender, so. It's a good move for them, obviously. They do need
depth. Yeah, they had a lot of holes they need to fill, and getting Nick Castellanos was a very decent, respectable outfielder, especially playing on the Tigers. He was one of their top assets at the trade deadline. Obviously won the trade, and that's a good move for the Cubs.
Probably the best hitter, which is kind of sad, seeming that he's only hit 11 home runs, 37 RBIs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
with 273, not even over 300. So not a great player, but just overall good depth piece. Now, probably the biggest move of the trade deadline, the one that probably is the game ender for a lot of teams.
Definitely game changer.
Yeah. The Astros acquired all-star pitcher Zach Greinke from the Arizona Diamondbacks. Greinke has a 0.94 whip, which is the second best in the whole entire MLB. He has a 10-4 record and is also pitching with 2.9 ERA.
Yeah, he's a coveted asset that they had, and he had a no, it's interesting to know that he had a no-trade clause, which, yeah, so obviously he chose to be in Houston.
I mean, who wouldn't want to be with them?
Yeah, well, I saw reports that he didn't want to be, like, in New York, so that's interesting. Yeah. He's older than I thought, 35, but obviously he's been a good piece, consistent piece for a long time, and makes the Houston rotation all scarier.
Yeah, now they have Garrett Cole,
Verlander,
and Zach Greinke.
Yeah.
The first pitcher in WHIP and the MLB right now is Justin Verlander. Second is Greinke, and the fifth is Garrett Cole. So that just shows how good of a rotation this is going to be.
Yeah.
It's going to be very good. I mean, their pitching is just going to be unhittable.
It completely changes the AL setup.
If you have a series against these guys in the playoffs, I mean, you can pitch three games straight with just that.
Yeah.
All number one level pitchers.
Obviously, you can't forget about – and obviously, they have an amazing hitting staff, too.
Just George Springer and guys like that.
Yeah, and
Alex Bregman.
Even rookies they bring up, like Jordan Alvarez, is gone completely off. He was called up, like, June something, and he has 13 home runs.
It's definitely going to be very difficult for them to lose the World Series.
Yeah. It would be difficult for them not to make it, I think.
Yeah.
I think, if they don't
other teams
make it
need,
to at least the ALCS, I don't know what happens.
They were in need of other teams were in need of pitching. They just, that's their biggest strength. So it's going to set up a matchup problem because other teams aren't going to have that level of pitching.
Yeah.
Only team I can see them, kind of matching is the Dodgers, who have Walker Buehler, Kershaw,
and
Ryu.
Yeah.
So that's the only team I can see, matching that pitching.
It's insane staff. The D-backs giving them this, Greinke is getting older, so it will only be a small year window for a few years window with him, but still, even without him, they had a great staff, and now putting him in there is just amazing.
Yeah, they traded him for four prospects, I think.
And I think it was the number one and the number two prospect in their system, so they gave up a lot. For Greinke, but
we have to give up something for this level.
Yeah, and they're looking for a World Series, so that is the move they make when you want a World Series title.
That just proves it to send a message to your players and your fans that you are very interested in making a move and contending.
So the Tigers asked for the Yankees for Gleyber Torres for Matthew Boyd, and the Diamondbacks also wanted Clint Frazier for Robbie Ray plus three more prospects.
These are ridiculous requests from these teams. And it's honestly that's annoying. People ask why don't teams make moves? But when the teams with assets like this, that's the problem when they get into trade discussions, is that the team they obviously know that you have those level assets and they just ask for them. For pitchers that are average and are having good seasons, but they obviously aren't that level. The Yankees need pitching, but they're not that desperate as to give up one of their best young players.
And why would they do that when they're going to contend and those players are factoring into how good they're doing already?
Obviously, they've been open to trading Clint Frazier.
Kind of. He's expendable a little bit.
Yeah, especially because of the defense, and he's even in the AAA right now working on his defense. But it's still, they obviously need something that makes sense, and trading him for Robbie Ray, who most people haven't heard of, it doesn't make sense.
This kind of average.
You obviously have to give something up, something more for them. And then the more laughable one is Gleyber Torres for Matthew Boyd.
Yeah.
He's only 22 and he's already a 2-time All-Star. And he has over 20 homers this season. He has 3 in 2 days right now. So
why would they give that
to
up?
To trade that. He has superstar potential, definitely. So
and basically the future.
Give that up.
You don't give up your best young player.
To know his to talk about his value, he was what he was traded for to the Yankees was Aroldis Chapman. That's his level of talent, not Matthew Boyd.
It makes no sense why that would happen. It was just kind of like a
as a
throwing out there.
Yeah, offer. as like a 17-year, 18-year-old, he was worth Aroldis Chapman with obviously with three other prospects from the Cubs. But then now he's a fully more developed player who you can definitely see his potential. He's obviously worth a lot more than Matthew Boyd.
The Colorado Rockies are removing closer Wade Davis from his closer role in the rotation. Usually known as one of the best closers in the league, I'd say, Wade Davis. But it's kind of an move. The Rockies really aren't pushing for anything. So
do you have an idea why they made the move or anything?
Not really, to be
honest. Maybe it's to use him more, since if you're a closer, you just be like a more
come in
a
reliever role.
Yeah.
Maybe they just need him more there at this point. But they were shopping a lot of people at the trade deadline and all that, so
yeah.
They're not really in contention. So
no, they're not
really a move that matters too much.
The only good pieces is him and then Arenado and obviously.
Charlie Blackman.
Yeah.
Trevor Story.
Dahl, who injured himself.
Oh, yeah.
It would have been something nice if they kept LeMayu.
That would have been really nice infield, I think.
Yeah.
And just hitting lineup. Very nice. But unfortunately, no. Newly acquired Yankee slugger N1 and Carson Encarnacion. He fractured his wrist.
It's on the DL, I believe. Of today's doubleheader, he fractures his wrist on a slider. It's unfortunate because Encarnacion was really heating up for the Yankees.
Still putting up big home run numbers.
Yeah, he's still top five in the AL in home runs, despite being 36.
Yeah.
He said over 20, five, I think, for eight consecutive seasons, which is crazy. He started at 29. He's just a good piece, and unfortunately, he's injured. Another addition to the Yankees injury list.
Which doesn't look good for them now that they're trying to stay. And well, they have a pretty good cushion in the AL East right now as the leader. But obviously, you want to pad the wins up good spot in the playoffs.
You want to be in form before the playoffs start.
You want to have your whole lineup healthy and really just working. All right, so that's it for the MLB.
Another move that I forgot that wasn't even mentioned that much.
Yeah.
That I just remembered. The Houston also acquired Toronto pitcher Aaron Sanchez from a move. I forgot what it was. It was barely talked about. But obviously for tonight, he's part of a no-hitter through the seventh. Yeah, he's a nice piece from Blue Jays.
Yeah. Definitely stacking up on that pitching core.
Yeah.
Just very nasty. All right. So moving on to NFL. The first preseason game of the year, the first game of the year period for the NFL was this week with the Hall of Fame game, the Falcons and the Broncos. It was a very good game. We'll get to that a little later. But first up, Antonio Brown. Antonio Brown, who it was newly, today, it was just reported that Antonio Brown has a foot injury, and it's actually causing him to go see a specialist. So he's not using the team doctors. It's more of it probably is more serious now. Probably not too bad because it's not getting reported
he'll be back for the beginning of the season probably.
And he's been doing training camp completely fine so far for the Raiders. So
he's able to play with it, so he should be okay.
Yeah. The Dolphins signed former Cowboys receiver Allen Hurns. He had a freak injury last season that looked really ugly, where his leg kind of went backwards on a tackle or something.
Yeah, that was disgusting.
Yeah, it was really bad. Cowboys released him. Not seeing much in him anymore. But the Dolphins did sign him. Allen Hurns actually came from the University of Miami. He played there, so now going back home to the Dolphins. He signed a 1-year, $3 million deal. Dolphins really don't have a lot right now, but he is a kind of just piece for them to build in the receiver core. They don't really have a lot of receivers right now, so just have him as kind of a veteran presence is good. And if he can turn out to be somewhat of a good player coming back from this injury, he will be a good piece for them. And Josh Rosen,
Yeah. He was a pretty good receiver before the injury, but you never know how players will come back after a serious injury like that.
If he can ever come back to form to like when he was in Jacksonville with Allen Robinson, that kind of duo that they had, if he can ever come back to that, which will be tough after such a freak injury like that that kept him out for pretty much the whole season, but if he can have that, it will just be good for the Dolphins overall. They're picking up some good pieces and good young core, just a nice rebuilding year for them is what's going to happen this year. The Giants wide receiver core is really bad right now.
Giants in general are really bad.
Yeah, but it just got really like a lot worse. Corey Coleman, who's one of their wide receivers, he's an all right wide receiver, but it's the Giants. He tore his ACL in training camp, so that was bad. Sterling Shepard, I believe he fractured his, pinky or wrist or something. But that's going to keep him out for a few weeks, so that's not good for him. Sterling Shepard, probably their best wide receiver and best young player. And now Golden Tate, who their newly acquired four-year, $37 million player, has been suspended 4 games for PED use, which is performance-enhancing drugs, as always.
And also
they literally have no one
to catch. Daniel Jones also hasn't been performing well at training camp either, which no one was really expecting him to, because that was probably one of the worst picks ever.
And he has no one to throw to now, so that just makes it even worse.
Yeah, it's gonna be a very the Giants are a laughing stock.
Yeah, it's looking ugly for them. Honestly, do not want to watch a minute of Giants football this year.
Nope.
It's going to be horrible.
Something I saw earlier was there was this guy. He signed a one-day contract so that he could retire with the team he wanted.
Oh, the Rams, Steven Jackson.
Yeah. And he got called in for
a
drug test. And he's like, I'm not going with that. I'm retired.
a one-day contract to retire with the team, which a lot of players do, obviously.
And he
gets called in for a random drug test.
He's really not making any money off the contract.
Yeah.
He's not playing any games. There's no point in him
The NFL needs to, go over these things before they send him out. I mean,
Roger Goodell.
They're probably sending him to Gronk by now. Retired. Come on, Roger. Figure it out. Sonny Michel was back at training camp. He was dealing with a minor injury. Good to see him back. Obviously, a good weapon for Tom Brady. John Harbaugh, the coach of the Ravens, he was hinting at Lamar Jackson running more this season and said that he might break Cam Newton's record for most carries by a quarterback.
Because he can't actually throw the
ball. He can't throw the ball. That's just bad. You don't want to feed him the ball even more, because now defenses have probably figured out him by now in his running style, and they're going to kill him. And his runs are not going to be as effective as they were last season. And he can't run a college system his whole entire career, and he needs to learn to throw. He's a glorified running back for the quarterback position, and it just makes completely no sense for Lamar Jackson to actually be running the ball more. And I don't see what John Harbaugh is thinking about this, but, it's just kind of a dumb move.
Yeah. The Cowboys signed Alfred Morris. I believe he is returning. He used to play for them, I believe.
Yeah, he used to play for the Cowboys. Also, he was a standout with the Redskins and went to the Cowboys and then kind of just took a backup role. And now he's back with the Cowboys, just going to be a backup for Zeke. If Zeke does return from his holdout, which apparently he's in Mexico now, so that doesn't seem like it's going to happen. Donald Penn signed with the Redskins, which also triggered some rumors to be floating around that the Redskins are shopping Trent Williams. He might go to the Patriots, but there's also been reports that they aren't going to shop him. They're going to hold him, and they're going to see until keep him until he stops holding out, which is probably a bad move. But the Donald Penn thing, I think, is probably a teller that he's going to get traded. And I would see Trent Williams getting traded very, very soon. Melvin Gordon requested a trade, reportedly now after his holdout. And it's not looking good for them. The Chargers said that they didn't get permission for the GM to make any calls to have Gordon traded. So right now he's going to stay there, but he does want to trade out of LA. For right now, if I were LA, I would probably trade him. I mean, or give him his money, but he's asking for
too much for how inconsistently he plays with his knee injuries, and seeing that he was on limited touches basically all of last year.
Yeah, it's not good at all for Melvin Gordon and the Chargers. The situation's getting pretty ugly, and I think right now where they're at, it's their chemistry and the team is getting torn apart through this, and it's just really a shame. All right, now back on to the Hall of Fame game. So the Broncos won this game 14-10. At the end of the game, there was a pass into the end zone with 1 minute left to win the game for the Broncos. It was a tip pass, very nice catch off the tip pass into the back of the end zone, kind of like Santonio Holmes in the Super Bowl, but a tip. It was really, really nice. The wide receiver there was, I believe, the leader in yards for a career, I think, at Virginia. He went undrafted, but pretty good wide receiver. He was, derived by injuries in his career, and that's what made him go undrafted, but now he's looking pretty good. Some takeaways that I got from this is Benkert, former quarterback for Virginia. He looked really good in the Hall of Fame game. He had 185 yards and one touchdown. Also, so he looked pretty good, but he does have a toe injury and it is major, so he might not even make the team, which is pretty sad. Drew Locke, who I love Drew Locke. I love him a lot. He performed pretty bad. He was 7-for-11, so good completion percentage, but only 34 yards. He had a lot of overthrows, but I think most of those were because of the wide receivers. They just weren't getting to his spots. He has a really strong arm, and he just needs to get that under control. He was throwing really good balls, though. So, I mean, if the wide receivers can just catch up to those and he can kind of adjust them like a yard back, he'll be amazing. And I think he just needs a little room to improve in some time, and he'll be just fine. Also, Brett Rypien, former Boise State quarterback, undrafted, who was on Broncos. He was 5-for-10, 41 yards and one touchdown, with the last touchdown, the tip catch. So he was all right in the Hall of Fame game. I thought it was a pretty good game. Only watched really the first half of that. But from what I saw, it was pretty good. Locke looks like he needs improvement, but he looks efficient and he looks like he has some pretty good throws. And Benkert looks like he could be a future pretty good backup or average starter, I think. I think Benkert is really a diamond in the rough for them. And now on to some NHL.
Yeah. So, Andre Vasilevskiy,
the goalie for the Tampa Bay Lightning, he signed an 8-year, $9 million a year, and he also got $45 million in bonuses in the contract. He signed that deal. So, obviously, the Lightning were the best team in the NHL last season.
Yeah.
And through the regular season.
At least
season.
In the regular season, yeah.
Yeah, until they got swept by the
They tied for the
Jackets.
Record for wins in the regular season and then got swept
in the first round.
Despite being contenders, obvious contenders and favorites.
Yeah, it's just
obviously, they're trying to improve the season. So they're signing back their players, and it's a pretty big contract for the NHL standards.
Andre is a pretty good goalie, though, so
exactly.
They definitely need to secure
that. A crucial part, and you pay the crucial parts of your team in any sport.
They do have Kucherov and Stamkos already for attacking and goal scoring, so I mean, they need to secure that goalie, and they have him for 8 years now, so they have him for
a long time.
Big window. So
basically the rest of his career.
Yeah, if the Lightning can't win a championship with the roster that they have right now, with an 8-year deal, I don't know what's what happens there. So I expect a championship.
Yeah.
Yeah. If not, then Tampa Bay, you're pretty much disappointing your fans a lot.
Yeah, and on to soccer now. So Gareth Bale, his reported move to China is not happening. Really
interesting change of events.
Confusing because seemed like they really wanted to get rid of him at Real, and now he's just not really going anywhere.
Yeah, it's really
now.
Confusing because it's reportedly Real Madrid who called off the move, so it really doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Kind of confusing there, but.
Because it seemed like, yeah, like all parties wanted him out, but.
The Women's World Cup will expand from 24 teams to 32 teams.
Which is a horrible move.
I mean, I don't really know.
I think that's how many the Men's World Cup is.
Seeing the talent difference with just 24 teams from
the United States and Thailand.
Yeah, from that game.
And now you expand it to 32.
And now you're having even worse.
How much worse can you get? Is it going to be 20-0 United States versus like what? Some like
Vietnam.
Djibouti.
Yeah, like Ivory Coast, I don't know. Are they good at women's soccer?
Their men's soccer team is consistently in the World Cup.
Yeah. Their men's one is decent.
I'm trying
one
to
name
a random country.
African Cup of Nations and stuff like that. And they had Didier Drogba, so.
South Africa.
They have a decent, like, kind of decent.
Okay.
Like, this doesn't really matter.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some small
country. But, yeah, it just wouldn't make sense to have another team get just... washed by another superior team.
Probably 20-0 the next World Cup.
But at the same time, it's kind of nice to see it increase the impact on the world. And more teams.
I think it would inspire more teams to get better. Now, if you're actually in the World Cup, you want to win that. So
yeah,
I'm sure teams will try to get better players and get better. But still, for the short term, it's not looking good. Like, good move.
So the whole drama between Man United and Juventus with the reported Lukaku and Paulo Dybala swap is kind of confusing because, about a couple of days ago, news was out that Lukaku had signed the $10 million contract with Juventus, or it was agreed with them. It seemed like a done deal. And then a couple of days later, I got a notification saying that Paulo Dybala did not want to go to Manchester United, which I don't blame him. I'm happy he's not going because he's actually a good player and I want to see him develop somewhere where he won't rot in prison.
I mean, it's really understandable that he doesn't want to go there. A lot of the higher talent, caliber players haven't had great seasons there. And even if they do have like decent times there, the Manchester media just rips them apart for no reason. Like, it happened with Lukaku. Lukaku and Pogba have both gone there and not really enjoyed their visits and both want to get out of there. So the ball is looking at that and obviously understands, like, unlike other players who just gone, continue going there.
Yeah.
He just doesn't.
And obviously, if Manchester United was able to complete the swap, it would probably be a good move for them, as Dybala is a much better player than Lukaku.
By far.
And
he was
I really hope it doesn't happen because, first off, I don't like Manchester United. And second off, I don't want Dybala to rot.
Reportedly, Ronaldo wants Lukaku there. So that's interesting. And he was really good at Everton. So if you could go back to that, it'd be amazing for them. But Paulo Dybala, he's like my favorite player. So I would really not like him to see him go to Manchester United. Because obviously,
I kind of liked his
pieces. Yeah.
Pieces I kind of liked him teaming up with Ronaldo.
I don't see how he could succeed there. In Manchester, concerning the history of players going there, so
they really don't do well with
Countrymen, Di Maria, who's also Argentine, didn't have a great spell there, so I don't know, I don't think he wants to go there.
Yeah,
okay.
Leroy Sané, reportedly close to signing with Bayern Munich. But Manchester City is asking for $166 million transfer fee, which is very high for a player with struggles off the field and behaving himself.
This would only be the third highest fee ever paid for a player because the soccer market's now messed up because of Neymar. This would be a really good move for Bayern. I really like Leroy Sané and what he brings.
Plus, he gets to go back home to Germany as well.
Yeah, Bayern probably didn't want to pay that $166 million, so if anything's agreed, it'd be interesting what the fee would be.
I don't think
he's worth
Bayern's
that much,
like record fee is 89.
Yeah, it's 89 million, so I don't know.
That's like,
yeah.
That's double what they've paid before
Yeah.
for their highest other fee. So I think They'll try and negotiate it down to probably like 140.
Obviously, he's not worth that, but I think players who are worth that much aren't either. Like, Usman Dembele was not worth like 115 million or something, but he got it to Barcelona anyway, so.
Yeah, and I think Bayern Munich will be willing to pay like 140 at the most for him.
Yeah. He's a really good player.
Try and negotiate
it down. Yeah, talented. But his playing time was kind of cut down a little bit. He's like one of the best players, but there was just a lot of playing time between him and Bernardo Silva and Raheem Sterling because they have a lot of young wingers. And they just, I guess they didn't divvy up the time so that Leroy liked it. And the rumors came out of him wanting to leave. So, well, at least they'll move away.
Yeah.
It'd be interesting.
Danny Alves joined Sao Paulo.
Yeah, he was looking for a team for a while. He's a free agent. Obviously, free agent marketing soccer doesn't work the same way because it's not designated. And whenever contract ends, you just leave and go because it's international. And he went back to Brazil to join Sao Paulo, which is a nice move into the end of his career.
Dortmund beat Bayern in the Super Cup final.
Yeah, the German Super Cup.
And Barcelona had won the last three Super Cups.
Bayern had, yeah.
SCB, I thought that was.
Yeah, SCB is just Bayern too. Yeah, because it's the German Super Cup. Bayern obviously a dominant force in that league, so it was nice to see Dortmund beat them 2-0. It was a great performance, especially from the English youngster Jadon Sancho, who had a great season last season. I'm really glad he stayed for that young core of Dortmund players. And he had a great game. He got an assist on the goal on the first goal to Paco Alcacer. And then he scored the second one, which is a great run from the right wing in. And he just finished against Neuer. So great to see him change in the German league. And that was a good game.
And Lionel Messi has been banned from international games for 3 months for alleging corruption at the Copa America. That is probably the stupidest thing I have ever read because he is probably the biggest, like, advertisement ever for a Copa America. Him and Pele.
Well, he didn't have a great Copa America, but that's besides the point.
Well, yeah, he's not the greatest performing international player, but still, he's Messi,
yep.
And people love him. So, and that and also that type of ban makes it look like they actually have something to hide.
Yeah.
As they would get.
In any other sport, this would not happen. They'd just let it fly.
Yeah. If they were smart.
Well,
they'd probably
be fine, but they definitely would not be suspended.
Well, people complain about corruption, like in the Saints and NFC title game, they complain about that. Nobody's got suspended for that.
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
But
in some other cases, like even like Verlander, people have an MLB talk to him when he was alleging the balls were juiced, and then people were talking to him just over that. So, I mean, it's interesting. He's only going to miss like 5 or 6 games because of internet, because it's international, and they'd probably just be friendlies over that time, but it's still a bad move to ban him at all.
Yeah. This has been episode 15 of the Sports Report podcast. I hope you enjoyed. Make sure to leave us any messages that you may have through Anchor or social media.
Yeah, any suggestions, concerns, comments.
And anything you would want us to talk about on the next episode.
Yeah. Also check out our YouTube, Sports Report Podcast on YouTube, and our Twitter, Sports Report Po1, and our Instagram, at Sports Report Podcast.
And Sports Report News.
Yeah.
Yes.
All right. We will see you on the next episode.
See you guys.